Before we open God's word this evening, let's turn to him in prayer. Father in heaven, with much thankfulness in our hearts, do we approach thee in this evening hour, in the quietness of this thine house of worship. Father, we are a blessed people to have this opportunity and the freedom to look into thy holy and living word of life, which can cleanse us and draw us closer unto thee. I pray, dear Father, for thy presence to be with us in this evening, that we would focus on thy word and what thou wouldst have for us, and be able with thy help to apply what we hear to our lives throughout this week and throughout the remainder of our lives. This I do pray and ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For tonight's reading, I would desire that we would turn with God's help and read from the Gospel according to John, chapter number 15, the first 17 verses. John 15, the first 17 verses.
Sveto evanđelje po Jovanu, glava 15, prvih 17 stihova.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. May God bless the reading of his word, and may we bow before him in prayer. These verses that we have read in John chapter 15 speak a lot to practical application to our lives. These verses are very easy to understand, and again, very applicable to us. Although it seems as if there are two different topics in these verses that we have read, they go together with the idea of Jesus being the true vine, and then what I'd like to focus on in verse 15 is that he is our friend. Verse 15 says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." It is one of the most beautiful truths in God's word that Jesus Christ himself, whom the book of Revelation describes as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he wants to be our friend. I believe we all know the importance of having a friend, a true friend in our lives. A true friend that you can share your thoughts, your feelings with, your desires, perhaps even the times that we stumble and fall, a true friend will be there for you, to help you, to instruct you, to encourage you. And the Bible also speaks in many places of the importance of friends, friends on this earth. One such example is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." We are there for each other. Your friend will not, a true friend will not always tell you perhaps what you want to hear. He will be honest with you. He will tell you if you failed, if you're doing something you shouldn't. If we have a friend and we don't really care what they do, we don't care if they fail, then we are not their true friend. If you have a friend, you care for him and he cares for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." So again, these verses speak of the importance of having a true friend in our lives. And Jesus himself is telling us he wants to be our friend. No person is more qualified to be that true friend for us than Jesus Christ himself. And that's why it's so amazing, it's so beautiful that he extends that hand of friendship to us. And the true test of friendship is love. If you love someone, then you are truly friends. A beautiful example in Scripture of a true friendship was Jonathan, the son of King Saul, and David. It says, "The soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." This pure, undefiled love and care for his friend, that is the proof of friendship, true love. And there are many examples in Scripture of this true love, this true friendship. Another one of which would be Ruth, who after her husband died, she went to be with her mother-in-law. She loved her mother-in-law, Naomi, and the Bible says she stayed with her wherever she went. She said, "Wherever you go, I will go. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God." She had that pure love for her mother-in-law. So Jesus here in verse 15, he's saying he's not calling us any more servants, but he's calling us friends. Because everything that he has been told of his Father, he has told us. Jesus told us that there are many mansions waiting for us in heaven. And if it were not so, then he would not have told us. He is telling us the things that he has heard of his Father, and he is not hiding anything from us. Again, that's a sign of a true friendship. Everything is transparent, black and white. We know the true thoughts and the intents of our friend. But that being said, that doesn't mean that we are not his servants. Yes, of course we are his servants. But the relationship goes deeper than being just that of a servant. For a servant serves his master and doesn't really know what his master feels about certain issues or much of anything. He just works, puts in his time, and leaves. But Jesus wants our relationship to go much deeper than that. And Paul, in Romans chapter 1, at the beginning of the book, he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. He's admitting, yes, I am a servant. He's not backing down from this. Yes, he is a servant of Jesus Christ. But he also recognized that the relationship, again, must go deeper than that of just being a servant. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." So we are the servants of righteousness. And who is there that is more righteous than Jesus himself? So it's not a contradiction to say that we are his We are servants of Christ, and we are also his friend. We can be both at the same time. That is the power that Jesus gives. We have a oneness, a relationship with him, but also a servant attitude. And because we have this servant attitude, again, we must prove our friendship with him. And to prove our friendship with him, we must love him. And to prove that we love him, Jesus says in verse 14, it says, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." Again, that if. If we do whatever he commands us, then we are his friends. Then we love him. We prove our love for him by obeying the things that he has given us to do. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." So there's this relationship. There's the husbandman, or the gatherer, the farmer, so to speak. Then there's the true vine. And then we are the branches. So this relationship, the husbandman, the vine, the branches, that is how we are to be. With the Father, God the Father, Jesus Christ, and us, we are the branches. The relationship must work together. We work together as the branches. We work together with the vine, Jesus Christ himself, to bring forth fruit to the honor and glory of our Heavenly Father. And he says multiple times in this chapter that without him, we can truly do nothing. This fruit that we are to bring forth, we cannot produce it of ourselves. There's nothing within us. There's no power within us without Jesus Christ that would make us fruitful. We must trust in him. The sole purpose that we have been placed on this earth is to serve our Lord, to bring forth fruit to his honor and to his glory. And this chapter has a few very harsh, blunt statements. In verse 2, it says, "Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." That is true. That is an excellent truth. But right before that, we can't forget what comes before that. He says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." So we have no right to be on that vine if we are not producing fruit for him. And again, in verse 6, again, some very, in a way, scary imagery. He says, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." He has no use for us if we are not producing fruit. We know the example of Jesus when he saw the fig tree that was not bringing forth any fruit. He says, "Why are you here? Why is this tree here if it's not bringing forth any fruit? There's no point. This tree is serving no purpose." And he cursed the tree and said, "Let there be no more fruit ever produced from you ever again." And the tree withered instantly because of the power of Jesus and his word, his truth. And that we must abide in him. We must abide in his word. It says here in this chapter that we are cleansed. We are cleansed by this word. If I can find it, in John chapter 17, it says a similar. John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus' prayer for his disciples, he says, "Sanctify them, us, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." We are sanctified through his word. And of course, we know that his word is none other than the Jesus himself. Thy word is truth. Jesus is both the word of God and truth, the way, the truth, and the life. So we must abide in the word and abide in Jesus to bring forth this fruit. That's not a contradiction. It can be both at the same time because, and only because of who Jesus is. Jesus, when after his death and resurrection, he spoke with his disciples. And he asked, John chapter 21, he asked Peter, he said, "Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And he, Peter, saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." And a second time Jesus asked him, "Simon, lovest thou me?" And Peter's response is, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And again Jesus' response, "Feed my sheep." And yet a third time Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" Three times he asked him, because we know, of course, that Peter denied him three times. But what is Jesus telling him here? He's saying, if you love me, if you truly love me, you will feed my sheep. You will do my will. You will work be a laborer in my vineyard. He will be productive. That is the sign that we love him, when we are productive. If we go about our lives and there's no fruit, there's no evidence of fruit on us, fruit on our branches, so to speak, then he has no use for us. He'll cast us into the fire, so to speak. That wording is repeated at the end of the Old Testament as well. The day cometh that burns like an oven. Where what? Where all those dead branches will be burned up. God has no use for them. Jesus has proved his love toward us so much. The Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While in the process of us rejecting him, saying we don't want you, we don't love you, during that time, he died for us. It's a beautiful truth that we can't escape. So Jesus has nothing more to prove to us. He has given us everything. He shares everything with us. Again, everything that he has heard of his Father, he has made known or shared with us. We must prove our love to him. And again, that cannot be without him. It is not possible to bear fruit without his help. In verse 3, it says, now you are clean. You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Again, this idea that the word, Jesus himself, cleanses us, purifies us, that we bring forth more fruit. So what is this? What are these fruits that we can bring forth? I think we're all familiar with Galatians chapter 5, where it speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So these fruits of the Spirit that we can bring forth, it says that against these things there is no law. So there's no limit to how much fruit we can produce. God will never tell us the day of judgment that we've produced too much fruit for him. Of course, we could say, well, we know that, and it's an obvious truth. But let us never lose sight of that. Let's never be satisfied with the yield that we are bringing forth for his honor and his glory. We must continue to strive to bring forth more fruit. And that's even what the husbandman is doing, God is doing with us. Every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? He says, great job. No, he purgeth it that it may bring forth even more fruit. There's no limit. There's no limit to the amount of fruit that we can bring forth for him. We can only do these things if, and only if, we abide in him, and if, as he says, if my words abide in you. He says, if we abide in him, and we ask whatever we want, it will be done unto us. Another place in the scripture, Jesus says that whatever we ask in his name, that will be given unto us. So anything that we ask in his name must be in accordance with his will. We can't ask to receive something. We can't pray and ask to receive something that he has no, that is not of him. We cannot ask for more possessions, for more fame, for more anything worldly. We cannot ask him. He will not grant it to us because we cannot honestly ask that in his name. Anything that we ask in his name is something that he desires for us. Any mountain in our lives that is in our way, that is preventing us from better service of him, if we pray that the Lord would remove that mountain from our path, he will. Because, again, we're asking his name. Let's never lose our focus on what that means to pray in his name. We end every prayer, or we should end every prayer, with that statement. We ask this in Jesus' name. Let's think, not only when we pray, but as we live our lives, let's think what that statement really means, in Jesus' name. Let's ask ourselves, are the things that we pray for, are the things that we strive for every day in our daily lives, are those things in accordance with his will? Because if they are not, then they will not be granted unto us, and we will never be able to bring forth fruit. our fruit must be grown for him. If we try to grow, bring forth fruit that is of ourselves to show others what we have done, God has no use for that. Again, he will cut that branch off. He will cut that branch off and he will wither it. It will be burned. God gives us everything that we need to be successful, spiritually speaking. Not successful necessarily in the things of this life. God tells us that the rain falls on the just and on the unjust. We do not understand that. We don't understand why some people can, we see by their lives that they can live such evil, wicked lives, and yet they can have so much. And yet there might be someone who lives according to God's will as we see it. They are meek, they are lowly, and yet they don't have much. We don't understand why these things happen, but we must accept them as God's will. We must accept that fruit that we are to bring forth is not necessarily our possessions, the things that we have. Jesus says, greater love in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Is not this the very thing that Jesus himself has done to us, for us? He has laid down his life. Jesus says, I laid down my life. No man could take his life from him because of who he was. Jesus Christ could not be killed. No, but he laid down his life. He could have called legions of angels to save him, but no, he laid down his life. Why? Because he loves us. So Jesus will never ask us to do anything that he has not already done himself. He will never ask us something that is impossible. And many times we can look into his word and think that the things that he is calling us to are very hard. They seem impossible to us, but they are not. They are possible if and only if we abide in him. Yes, if we try to do these things that he tells us to by ourselves without him, yes, they are impossible. But the Bible tells us that the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. I believe we all know and love the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And if we read that and analyze our own lives, verse by verse, and we look at the things that we do, I believe that we will find that we come short. We will find that we are not at all times abiding in this vine, the true vine that is Jesus Christ. But let's not be discouraged. Let's not be discouraged and think that there is no hope for us, that we will never be able to live as the way he wants us to. No, we can. We can if we abide in him. It is a beautiful thing to think that Jesus is now in heaven and he is interceding for us to the Father. Every prayer that we pray to the Father, Jesus is there in between. There is only one person in between God and man. That is the man, Christ Jesus. He took on the form of a man, flesh, that he would know what we go through. We'd know the weaknesses that we suffer, the temptations. And yet he intercedes for us. It is a beautiful thing. And he is calling us to be in this sweet fellowship with him. Jesus will never give up on us. He will never rebuke us without a purpose. He will never rebuke us just to rebuke us, just to belittle us. No, if he rebukes us, it is because he loves us. The Bible says that who God loves, he also rebukes and chastens. Why? Again, that we may bring forth more fruit. It is not so that he would shove us down and belittle us and tell us that we are nothing. No, he is rebuking us that we would be able to be more faithful unto him, to bring forth more and more, again, more and more fruit for his honor and his glory. And we have not chosen him, but he has chosen us, and he has ordained us. Again, he has chosen us while we were yet in sin, while we were living for ourselves, not interested in the things that he has to offer. He has chosen us. And the last verse that we have read, he says, these things I command you, that ye love one another. This is the greatest law that we can be given, to love the Lord our God with our whole mind, our heart, our soul, our whole being, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. If that is our attitude, if that is our focus, then we will bring forth fruit. It is impossible for us to be as branches in the vine of Jesus Christ and not bringing forth fruit. We have to bring forth fruit. Because, not because of us, but because of who he is. He will always accomplish that which he desires. God has sent his Son on this earth to do that which was his will. And Jesus accomplished it perfectly. And we, if we abide in his true vine, then we also will not, we will not fail. We will bring forth fruit. And we will be true servants of the husbandman, God the Father. May God bless his word in our hearts in this evening hour. Amen.
Chapter, beautiful message about the union between Christ and the church. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. He is the light, we are the rays. He is the truest friend of all. He's our friend, and we are his friends. You know, in this world, there are three types of friends. There are friends for a reason, there are friends for a season, and then there are friends for a lifetime. The true friends. And Jesus is our true friend that cares for us, that provides for us, that prays for us. He's watching out for us every single day. We will never be alone if we trust in him, if we abide in him, as we have heard. The branch by itself, we've seen the branches break off, fruit branches. If they're cut off or broken off, even if they have fruits on it, how long will they last? Perhaps a day, then they all start to dry up. What do we do with it? We cannot put it back. We burn it. It's done. It's over. So we need to abide, as we all know, in the true vine so that we can bear fruit. And God will, if we allow him, he will purge us. He will prune us. Cut where we need to be cut so that we can bear more fruit to God's honor and to God's glory and to be to him only, to our invisible God and yet true God, be all the honor, glory forever. Amen.